woozy with songs they have sung for a thousand years.
Ooh. I mean, I just liked the little bit of extra that you put on the end of it.
Well, nothing else. I'm always extra. So.
That's true. That is true. That was beautiful. Hello, everyone. If it wasn't plainly obvious already what movie we are talking about today on It's a Wonderful Podcast, the main show, episode 125. Well, it will be when we tell you that it is, of course, The Sound of Music from 1965. It was a Patreon pick this week as well.
It was, yes.
Carla picked The Sound of Music because at her particular tier on the Patreon, on the It's a Wonderful Podcast Patreon, of course, she gets to choose something that we talk about on any of the shows. Each month, she stays at that tier. And, yeah, she chose The Sound of Music. I'm just really excited to be doing big musicals again.
Yes, we took a little break from musicals, it feels like, so.
Yeah, but not even just like regular musicals, like, you know, like the musicals we'll be doing on Morgan Hasn't Seen.
Yes.
Like, which were more modern musicals. I'm talking like big musicals.
Old Hollywood style musicals, yes. So.
Like The Sound of Music, which I do think is the great American musical anyway.
We will get into your thesis statement of this film.
We will.
But first, let's shout out our wonderful It's a Wonderful Podcast patrons.
Very true. Very important.
Another perk you get from the Patreon. At the $1+ tier, you get a little shout out on every an episode of one of the shows every week. So, yes.
Yeah, everyone gets this because we love you all and you're all great. If you want to join the Patreon, of course, the It's a Wonderful Podcast Patreon, just go to patreon.com/itsawonderful1 or just search It's a Wonderful Podcast on Patreon. Find the tier that is right for you there. We'll be saying thank you to you every week on the show.
We will.
Because we love you. And that's great. Janine. Would Morgan you like to kick us off?
I would. Huge thank you to Philly Eagles 559, aka Andrew. Thank you, Andrew.
And thank you to JJ Winwood.
Thank you to 90s Comics Box, aka my big brother Justin.
Thank you, Travis Mickey.
Thank you, Video Drew.
Thank you, Adelaide Spence.
Thank you, all the way from Canada, Corey Morissette.
And thank you to the spider, Robert Parker.
And thank you to my girl, who's doing some awesome things right now, Tina Christina Farrow.
Yay. And thank you to Heather Sabian.
Thank you to my other boo-thang, Abby Friel.
A boo-thang?
She's my boo-thang, yes.
I can't get away with saying words like that. Thank you to Megan McCurley, Dr. Megs.
Yes, I like it. Thank you to Adelia Chamberlain.
And thank you to Marcus Burton.
Thank you to Movie Fenobi, Steve.
Thank you to Jake Yakavetta.
Thank you, Samir Tesfai.
Thank you, Patrick Harden.
Thank you, John Mariano.
Thank you to Carla Fies, who picked this movie.
Yes. And thank you, Dwayne Burke.
Thank you, Adam Collins.
And thank you, Delisha Renee. Congratulations.
Yay. Thank you to LK.
Thank you to Oscar Romo.
Thank you to Gigi.
And thank you to Ken Knapsack.
Thank you to Brandon Hanna.
And thank you to Tom and Kimber of Odd Shape Channel.
Thank you to Eric Garcia.
And thank you to the best hype man in the biz, who is also responsible for the month's pick on the other show Morgan hasn't seen, Billy Paulahan.
Yay. Patrons. We love you. Woo. That was so much worse than any song in The Sound of Music, which, yes, includes what is the official... Oh, Janine, let's say it now. We have a new segment.
We do have a segment whenever we do musicals. So, you know, another thing on our Patreon, if you would like to join our fun Sunday live streams where you just sit and chill and chat with us. And a thing we decided to come up with was what song could be considered the cheer-up Charlie of any musical? Because... some people maybe don't. Somebody, I think, had a comment on my Twitter debating on their feeling of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory being a musical.
It is a musical.
It is a musical. It has, people break out into song. It has several songs in it. I think it is a musical.
It is a musical. So,
and all of the songs are great, except for Cheer Up Charlie, the which random ass song that his mom sings while he's just walking down the street. And it's terrible. So we came up with a segment idea of what is the Cheer Up Charlie of any musical? So we will be doing that anytime we talk about a musical on any of our shows. So what is the Cheer Up Charlie of The Sound of Music?
Well, I think we'll just get onto that when we get onto it, to be perfectly honest with
okay,
you.
I think we just
say it when it comes to it.
All right.
We'll obviously get to it because, you know, we're breaking this movie down. It's a 3-hour epic, huge ass musical, Janine.
Yes, with the intermission and everything. So
you have to have an intermission. A musical without an intermission is not a real musical. You know how I feel.
Yeah.
I like my musicals to be 14 hours long, and have, you know, an overture at the start.
Yes.
And all kind of stuff.
I think that plays into your pretty big thesis statement you had about this movie.
Yes.
So please get into that. What is your big thesis statement regarding The Sound of Music?
So, there are many great musicals in movie history that obviously, yes, came from Broadway or the West End or wherever, but I'm talking movie musicals right now.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever they came from, even if they came from nothing and they were originally movies, whatever. Doesn't matter. As long as they are movies at all. There are many, many great movie musicals. Many, many great Hollywood movie musicals. They're all, you know, many, many from around this time as well. Like your Mary Poppinses, your West Side Stories, your... Oliver's, if you were to ask me, although that's a British movie, it's not a Hollywood movie, but you know.
Yes.
Go back to The Wizard of Oz and other things from the 30s.
My Fair Lady.
My Fair Lady, obviously, from similar time to this movie as well. And so many great, huge Hollywood movie musicals that are just phenomenal to watch. Movies I call Sunday afternoon movies that take up the entirety of Sunday afternoon to watch because it comes with advertisements in the middle of it. So it literally takes 6 hours to watch.
Yes.
The Sound of Music is the great Hollywood movie musical. In a pool of great Hollywood movie musicals, this is... the absolute daddy of them all.
Daddy, okay. It is, yes. Daddy, it all is. Right.
And that doesn't mean that it's my favourite. And that doesn't mean that it's even the best. Because I think, you know, there are movie musicals that I prefer to this in both favourite and I think this movie is actually better than this movie.
Okay. Just in scope and what...
in everything.
What it embodies.
What it embodies in the scope of it, the absolute sort of legacy of it, the quality of it. Let's not forget, it is arguably perfect as a movie musical. It really is. While I do think it could end half an hour before, it does end. But, you know, let's whack the Nazis in there.
Yes.
Because, you know, we want to remind everybody that it's actually a biographical movie as well, and the Von Trapps actually existed as real people.
Yes.
You know, it's unusual. You don't get movies, you don't get musicals of this type that are biographical, really, do you? You get your biographical musicals of musical artists and that kind of stuff, but not necessarily of military officers and their singing children.
Yes.
You don't tend to get biographical musicals of that, unless, of course, you are the Sound of Music. So you whack the little bit of actual historical story
in there,
anyway.
Yeah, which it does feel a bit tacked in there.
It
but,
does feel a bit tacked on, and that would be my only possible gripe with The Sound of Music, that the Nazi stuff at the end just feels like, am I now watching a different movie? Because let's be fair, the movie, if it was a fictional movie, an entirely fictional movie, it would have obviously ended with the wedding. But
the wedding where everyone's singing a diss track about the bride.
I mean, I suppose without that ending, without the last half hour, though, and we'll get onto it, you kind of don't get the more meaningful reprisal songs, do you? Without the festival. You don't get those. But we'll get on to that. We'll get on to that, of course, because we've done the Patreon shout-outs, and now it is time for the meat of the episode. Janine, The Sound of Music. Do you have as bold a statement as I do?
Not that bold, but, okay. It's probably one of my favorites, if not maybe my favorite musical, I would have to say. Because I'm not huge on musicals, so I don't have a big, storied history with, a lot of musicals. There's still plenty more I could consume. But of the ones I have, this has definitely always been a standout favorite of mine, for sure. So I do really love this movie.
Do you, is it something about this kind of musical that you maybe aren't drawn to? Is it the idea that they're always at least 3 hours long?
They can be a little long-winded, and if it's not something where I know the songs well or I can get into the songs as much, is a turn-off. But this one, I pretty much love a good chunk, a majority of the songs. So I think that's what keeps me, loving this one more than others.
I mean, I think that's kind of the difference with The Sound of Music compared to a lot of the other sort of great big epic movie musicals, especially of like the 60s, they've all got songs in them that a lot of people know anyway, even if they don't know them from
that specific musical.
But The Sound, not quite to the level of The Sound of Music. Like, who doesn't know those songs from The Sound of Music, realistically? Yeah. Big songs. I'm talking, my favourite things. There isn't a human being in the Western world that doesn't know that, right?
I mean, you have Ariana Grande covering that for one of her songs, So.
I'm sure the actual Sound of Music itself, the opening song, had some sort of dreadful dance club kind of
techno version
to it, where it was like the club is alive with The Sound of Music nonsense like that.
I mean,
to
we've
which
heard
everybody
it repurposed
just went, oh,
in
God, no.
I mean, we've heard it repurposed in things like Moulin Rouge, so
we have. That is how the movie opens, of course, is just Julie Andrews spinning around
the hills, which has been, memed and,
it is
allergy
a meme.
For allergy season and
it is
and
a
the
meme.
Like. Yes.
Let's be fair, it is a meme. Things become memes, don't they, Janine? Yes. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, more so than most.
Yes. I mean, I was actually, when we were watching it, I was looking up GIFs to kind of tweet about watching it, and there were some really silly ones. Once someone put some machine guns in her hands, and when she's spinning around, she's like shooting.
God.
And things like that. So
that is terrible. That is everything that Maria doesn't stand for.
No. How do you... She's probably going to shoot all them nuns who were singing that shit talk song about her.
Oh, dear. Anyway, what, first of all, the actual song, The Sound of Music, you opened the show with it. It's a great opening number.
It is.
It's just, let's showcase more of Julie Andrews' unbelievable singing voice right at the beginning. So, yeah, let's just do that. Let's kick us off right with a big bang there.
And an insight into the character. I mean, she's singing about her love and her passion for being, you know, out in the natures of the world. And, you know, so it's also a kind of an insight on her right away, immediately.
She's free-spirited. Kind of
yes.
Marie is very free-spirited. She should not really be a nun. Doesn't no. make a great deal of sense. However, she is a nun. The other nuns don't like her. The other nuns see her as a problem.
Yeah, there's a whole song calling her a problem.
How so. Do you solve a problem like Maria?
Like Maria, which they end up reprising and singing at her wedding.
Which
like,
is dreadful.
Who wants to hear a song about you being a problem at your own wedding? It's like...
That sounds I never like thought I about that
do. Until watching it again. I'm like, you know, that's kind of messed up.
Do you not think that sounds like something I would do?
Yes, probably. So, how do you solve Tom a and Kimber,
like me,
Tom and Kimber, just be warned that Morgan's probably going to be like, "How do you solve a problem like Kimber at your?"
No, I don't mean like that. I mean like about me. I mean like I'm there, you know, waiting at the front. Yet, and I ask the musical instrument player, the whoever it is. I don't, you know, there will be no church organ at Morgan Robinson's wedding. I can tell you that for a fact. There will be no church involved should such an event ever happen. But you know, I might just ask these people to just for the fun of it, just for a bit of humour, just play.
How do you solve a problem? How do you like solve Morgan? A
problem like Morgan?
That's terrible.
I would have a good time. Would have a good time.
In kind of first watching it, I was already kind of touting that song as the Cheer Up Charlie of this movie.
Okay.
But as we go on, I think we were more solid we on do. Another song we being are. The real Cheer Up Charlie. So while Maria is not a great song, it's not terrible.
It's not.
It is, but it is kind of mean.
It is. But it is. And I think the... To constitute being the Cheer Up Charlie, not only do you have to be kind of useless as a song.
Yes.
You know, or not only do you kind of have to be bad as a song, but you also kind of have to be useless to the story as a song. And while I think that I suppose the song we have chosen as the Cheer Up Charlie of The Sound of Music is in some, you know, has some story relevance to it,
you
have
still,
to believe that it isn't actually entirely necessary.
Yes, you could get by without it and still have that plot point take place that happens, you know. After that moment. Whereas I think this song, Maria, is a great illustration of, you know, her impact on people. And, you know, she's just, it's more to kind of describe that she's kind of all over the place. She says how she feels. She's a bit of a clown. She's silly. She makes people laugh.
While she
is caring, you know, she's a young girl. And that's kind of attributing to her being as kind of wild and free as she is.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's definitely very a good kind of exposition for a character type song. So that song does have a purpose. So I think in the end, it ultimately shouldn't be a Cheer Up Charlie because while it is not one of my favorite songs, which is why I kind of immediately wanted to put that brand on it.
It's not the worst.
No, it's not the worst. And it does serve a purpose for illustrating more about this character without, you know, right away. We see her in the hills, so we know she's kind of a free spirit. And then this song kind of talks about her dynamic with people and like how people see her. So yeah. I think it's necessary to characterization.
Definitely. Now, I'm sure everybody's, of course, kind of mostly aware of the general story of The Sound of Music, being that Julie Andrews goes to be a governess to the Von Trapp family children, and that's basically the story.
Yes.
Because musicals tend not to have phenomenally complex stories.
Why, the Nazi stuff is kind of just tacked in there.
Yeah. Yeah, it basically, it's 1938-9-ish. Well, 1939 is obviously when the Second World War started.
Yeah, it just says, I think, in the start, it says Salzburg in the 30s. It just says in the 30s.
But it's unclear as to how much time passes in the movie anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm going to call that the movie starts in 1938 and goes into 1939. I don't know why. I just think that's what happens. But yeah, Julie Andrews goes and is the governess to the Von Trapp family kids. Captain Georg Von Trapp, a ridiculous name. It just should be George.
Georg, yeah.
It's just Austrian George, isn't it? That's all he's been called. I mean, he's a real person, we have to remember that.
Yes.
Georg von Trapp, a real First World War Austro-Hungarian naval commander, with all his medals and honours and all that kind of stuff.
And whistles.
He does like a good whistle, which is a ridiculous way to, you know, call around. I love that, though. I love that he's just introduced... Oh, we just whistle a signal to each other. No, we're not having that.
Yes, I like that Maria was like, that's for dogs and cats and other animals. I will not answer to a whistle, and no, neither should these children. This is ridiculous. I love that she kind of just straight up tells him that.
She does, and she constantly does throughout the movie.
So much so that at a certain point he addresses her as a captain, not realizing that he's not speaking to a captain.
I actually read that was a mistake by Christopher Plummer, and they just kept it.
Oh, and that made for a really good moment. I like that.
You did. I like that. Another mistake, actually, that I saw was a mistake, but they kept it in. Robert Wise liking to keep in slightly nonsense things in his movies was in the next song, obviously, in this movie, which is I Have Confidence. She nearly falls over right as she gets to the front door of the Von Trapp
house.
And they just kept in the stumble because Robert Wise liked the fact that she would be a little bit nervous.
Yes, it was very endearing to who she was, especially after just kind of singing this song to hype herself up. And then when she gets hit with the kind of realism that, oh my gosh, this is the moment, then yeah. The confidence, the hype that she was doing to herself is kind of fading a little bit.
I mean, let's be fair. We love Robert Wise. Robert Wise is great. Robert Wise is one of the most varied directors ever.
Yes.
It's absurd the level of variety that he did. I literally think, well, let's call it in 5 years, was 1961 was West Side Story, 1965 was this movie, and right smack in between, what do you think? You've got a musical? No, you've got The Haunting. couldn't be further from West Side Story or The Sound of Music if it wanted to be.
Yeah.
But that's Robert Wise. That is Robert Wise. Love Robert Wise, he's great. But yeah, what about I Have Confidence, Janine? The song that Maria's singing. She's left the nunnery. And yes. She's going, she's prepared.
Well, she's not quite prepared. She's a little bit nervous. And I think that is a very relatable song. When you're going into something like, it just made me think of like Schmodown, and like, you know, I tweeted out, definitely a song I'll be listening to before my match, you know, because, yeah. Yeah, I think that's something you need to do sometimes when you're nervous. Instead of kind of giving into that, you just kind of need to hype yourself up and feel confident in yourself. So I think that song is just a relatable song for sure, and yet another moment to build up on the characterization of Maria and what she kind of does to get through things, get through difficult things. She's that type of person who's not going to sit and wallow in a situation or give into anxiety of a situation. She's going to try to hype herself up and be positive about things. So yeah, just another great characterization moment through song, and super relatable.
It's kind of a shouty song as well, which I like. Not in the same way that the Sound of Music itself, the song, is, because that's just kind of a belt it out at the top of your voice on the top of a mountain song.
Yes.
I Have Confidence is kind of, I'm great! I'm the best! Yay! Maria! I'm great. I have confidence in me. Run, run, run,
And
run,
it's not cocky at all. It's very endearing. Like she's
run. No,
trying to convince herself. She's shouting it loud enough so that she can convince herself and drown out the fear and drown out the anxiety of a new situation. So yeah, it doesn't feel like it's coming from a place of ego or cockiness. It
not
definitely
at
feels
all.
like a place of her really just trying to be positive and hype herself up in a nervous situation.
Yeah, which is great. I like that a lot.
Yes.
It's great. Now, this is where, of course, we meet Georg and the
And the
children.
children.
I'm not going to call him Georg anymore. It's a silly name.
Like the Baroness. The Baroness
The
constantly calls
Baroness
him
always calls him.
Georg.
Just call him Captain. Call him Christopher Plummer, or call him Janine, as Janine likes to call him,
Young Michael Fassbender.
your Michael Fassbender.
I don't know what it is like. Young Christopher Plummer totally gives me Michael
Because
Fassbender
they are the exact same actor. That's why it is plain to see. Now, it has been so very, very, very long since I saw The Sound of Music before watching it this week for this show. Christopher Plummer is Michael Fassbender,
Because, yeah, I was
and
like, is it
Michael
just in my
Fassbender.
head that I'm seeing this like connection of how they look, or
Yeah,
is it a
they
real
look
thing?
the
It's like
same.
they
They
do.
have the same mannerisms, the same kind of small, sly smile and angry eyebrows and stare and eyes and face shape and absolutely everything.
Okay, so I'm not
It's
crazy.
uncanny. You're
Okay.
not crazy. You are not crazy in the slightest. I have to believe that Michael Fassbender watched a lot of Christopher Plummer to get his acting style. Or they just happen to look very, very similar and act
Yes.
in very, very similar ways. Because it is, once you see it, you can't
Kind of,
unsee it.
yeah.
It really is very much the same. Very,
Yes.
very much the same. Janine, what is the next big moment? I suppose you have, well, the introduction of all the children, I always think, is weird. Because
Yes.
it's the whistles and the aggressive steps forward, and it's like the military, and we don't care for that.
No, but even him first meeting Maria, and you kind of get that hint that, music is something that's left the household, and because she goes into that ballroom and she's like in awe of it and bowing and kind of playing in there, and then he sees her and does a whole beast stay out of the West Wing type thing.
Does a bit. Yes,
And
you're
tells her
not
to stay
wrong.
out of there because, yeah, dancing and music is not something that's part of their lives anymore.
And it should be. This is the
Exactly.
point of The Sound of Music, to
Exactly.
bring music back to the lives of the Von Trapps who have been musically stripped to stripped the music has been stripped away from them by the unnecessary discipline of Georg.
Yes, because his wife died, and from there he just didn't want to be, you know, think of anything joyous after that point. So yeah, that's kind of an insight into his character of just, you know, and then him asking her to turn and making kind of, you know, oh, well, hopefully you can change before the children see you. No, I can't change. This is all I have. And
I mean, he is horrible to her at the start.
Yes. And just that whole exchange, their kind of back and forth is always kind of very funny. She's just kind of very direct with him, and he doesn't, it kind of disarms him a little bit. So I always like that dynamic to start with the two of them.
No, I think it's great. Yeah, it's always nice when the kind of leading man and woman in a big musical like this have such kind of this funny chemistry with each other, because they're always kind of the same. Like, it really reminds me again of My Fair Lady, and obviously Rex Harrison's so stuffy and arrogant and sure of himself.
Yeah.
And obviously Audrey Hepburn in that case, although Julie Andrews would have you believe that it should have been,
yeah,
probably, or some, many people would have you believe that it really should have been Julie Andrews, but then she went, no, I'm doing Mary Poppins instead, but, you know, that went okay.
Yeah.
Audrey Hepburn in that obviously is kind of very free-spirited and doesn't hold back in her feelings towards, you know, Rex Harrison in that movie. Very much the same is with Maria and Georg in this movie.
You just really like saying Georg, don't you?
I don't know. I've never come across, like, Austrian version of George before, or German version of George. I didn't think the Germans had a version of George that sounded anywhere near like George. You know, because obviously the French do.
Yeah.
And Spanish do. And Italian, I suppose, is... What's Italian's George? My natural Giorgio. Instinct says... Well, it's probably Giorgio, actually, isn't it? That's true. I was going to go Giuseppe, but then isn't that like... Sep, so it's Josep, so it's maybe Stephen.
Or Joseph.
I don't know. Joseph. Joseph. Of course it is. Giuseppe's Joseph. I'm all over the place, languages. Languages. You were on the ball today.
I'm trying.
Giuseppe is Joseph. You're right. It's not Giorgio. But yes, then it's... But...
We have Georg.
For people that speak German.
And you know, I've had always heard for years that he just hated doing this movie. He always had very negative things to say about the whole process. You know, he tried to get fired, I think, a couple of times. just was not happy.
He had a flirtatious relationship with the girl who played Liesl.
Yes, Liesl had a huge crush on him. She was 22 at the time. She was not 16 going on 17. She was 22 going on 23. So yes, she had a very huge crush on Christopher Plummer at the time. Lots of kind of little inside things. I think his grouchiness definitely played into his character.
A little bit.
For sure. I think he channeled it well. And then the moments when he was kind of supposed to be more lighthearted and loving, I think he was able to kind of pull that off really well as well. So
definitely.
I think it's a very nice change, because he played the harsh so hard that the kind of lighter moments played really well.
Yeah, I mean, in many ways, performance-wise, his is kind of... I mean, it's almost unfair to say it's better than Julie Andrews, because he just happens to have a character arc.
Yeah.
Whereas Julie Andrews is kind of just like the same, but then she falls in love. Which, yes, brings out, you know, good acting from Julie Andrews.
But she doesn't change. Perfect. She's always been who she has been since the start of the movie.
You know, perfectly wonderful actor. And
practically perfect in every way.
Yes, there you go. Wrong movie, that. It's the wrong movie. She's obviously a phenomenal singer as well, but considerably better singer than Christopher Plummer, we'd have to say.
Well, that's why they gave him some simple stuff, but he sounded great. I thought he sounded good.
I thought he sounded good as well, but that is why they give him the easiest song in the movie to sing, and probably the one song that I could probably sing. But it isn't the next song, is it? No, because the next song is...
It's My Favorite Things, right?
I thought it was 16 going on 17.
Oh, yes, it is. It is. Yes.
Which is Liesl and the wannabe Nazi.
Yes.
Rolf.
Rolf, which, you know, they throw in a little bit of Nazi things and then... Oh, no. Well, let's just go get to the song.
They do a little bit, don't they? Well, there would be people that... there would be lots of people that think we should be German.
Yes.
Am I one of them? Wink, wink.
Your father might get in trouble if he keeps resisting. Wink, wink. Anyway, you are 16 going on 17.
Why don't we fall in love? Yes, you are in love.
Before I fall in line.
Or whatever it is.
Yes.
I don't know what the lyrics are. It fits. Do you not remember on the live stream last week, Janine, that I managed to fit the lyrics of
I Can Go the Distance
from Hercules?
With I'll Make a Man Out of You.
Yep.
I can go the distance to defeat the Huns.
It fits, and I love it so much that it fits.
Yeah.
16 going on 17 is a not one of necessarily my favorites in the movie, but I think it's a nice song. It's a nice kind of lovey sappy song that you kind of have to have.
And I think, combined with the whole sequence of it, how do you feel about that? The whole dancing
and the
gazebo
dance.
And that whole kind of the, yeah.
I do. I like the in the rain and in outside in the gazebo. The whole number, I think, is better than it as a song.
The song, yeah.
Because it is very much kind of a staged number, almost. It's not like some of the other ones that are kind of natural feeling. And that's almost like, it's almost like the ones that Julie Andrews sings... a natural feeling.
And yeah, they're the not ones staged. That everybody else are more staged.
Yeah. Because even...
choreographed and...
Even Edelweiss is kind of like, come on, Dad, come and sing for us.
Yes.
Okay.
Whereas, when they're singing other songs, they're running through a field, they're riding bikes, they're on a carriage. You know, when she's singing I Have Confidence, she's just walking in a real place. She's not on a stage or anything like that. When she's in the hills, she's really in the hills, you know. So I think that also is something that I think distinguishes it from other musicals where it actually takes place in real places and feels more natural and it's not in a sound stage in a, you know, with a backdrop and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, if it is...
And it's not super choreographed, you know.
No, that's the thing really for me, is that it doesn't, or at least it doesn't feel...
Feel, yeah.
...super choreographed. For some musicals, for many, many musicals, that works really, really well, having a huge choreographed number. Yeah. Look at, you know, something like Consider Yourself in Oliver is... an enormous musical number that is impossibly well choreographed. And it needs to be. And it works better the fact that it is. You know? But Do Re Mi doesn't need to be that choreographed.
No. I would say, if anything, this actual 16 going on 17 is the most maybe choreographed. The sequence, if I can think about it. Where there's actual...
Yeah, I guess, I suppose, at least between kind of two people singing to each other and the whole dancing. I mean, you know, So Long Farewell.
Yes.
Is pretty damn choreographed.
Yes. But it's also like she taught them. That was something she taught them to perform for. It wasn't like a natural, like, oh, yes, we're just in love and we know all these dance moves. You know?
Yes, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
Which we practice every night. Every time you deliver a telegram, we get together and practice our dance moves.
I love it. I love it. This is why I love big musicals, because they make no sense in the real world. And it's just, it takes you out of it for hours and hours and hours and hours. And ultimately, The Sound of Music is a very, very happy movie.
Yes.
And I enjoy it. It makes me smile. We do have My Favourite Things next, Janine. Do you like My Favourite Things?
I do.
Everybody knows it.
Yes. And, like, it's always kind of, when I was, like, little, kind of watching this movie, I would kind of think about, well, what are my favorite things that I would think of when I'm scared and da-da-da. You know, I'd kind of equate it to myself in ways. And, yeah, it's, like, a fun little moment with the kids, because I think, you know, at first they're, you know, kind of messing with her like they do with the other governesses. And I think it's just a nice bonding moment with her.
It is.
And the kids, story-wise.
Very much so. In the thunderstorm, they don't like thunder. Even for some reason, the teenagers are scared of thunder, which, you know, okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just thunder, get over it.
And just the phrasing of the song is kind of, like, cool. Like, the...
it is.
The cadences of it and the build. And I like, even when, you know, when the dog bites, and then, like, that's when Georg is right there. Like, oh, God. Like, the timing of the ending of it, how it just abruptly ends.
Yeah.
Ends the fun when he's just kind of looming right there.
Well, two names we haven't mentioned yet, and we really should... This is Rodgers and Hammerstein. This is going to be pretty great musically and lyrically anyway.
Yes.
You know, you can get few, if any, better than Rodgers and Hammerstein. They go alongside, you know, Sondheims of the world, of the musical world, and Andrew Lloyd Webbers and people like that, don't they? I mean, they are really, probably, to be honest, the biggest names, I would say, anyway. I know probably Andrew Lloyd Webber is probably, but again, he's not really movies, is he?
Yeah.
And Rodgers and Hammerstein are kind of both. They did, you know, the movies as well as the actual stage productions. So applause for Rodgers and Hammerstein. But you are going to get very, very good musical music lyrics from those two. And then, yes, Christopher Plummer does come in, and he's very angry with them for not going to bed.
Yes, it's very strict bedtime.
Very strict. Bedtime is to be, what does he say?
Expressly enforced or something?
Yeah, something nonsense like that, I don't know. I was having too much fun singing to know what anybody actually said. Do you remember what the favourite things are? Could you rack them off?
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. brown paper packages tied up with strings.
You've skipped about
18. I know, I've skipped a bunch of things.
Bright copper blue, kettles and warm blue woolen satin. Mittens.
Blue satin sashes.
That's true. No, you've confused me now. You've got all the, you've gone round the houses with it, Jenny. Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with string. These are a few of my favorite things.
Yes.
Well, that's the first verse. We'll leave it there. because we don't want to embarrass ourselves.
Oh, well, I'm further. Already thoroughly embarrassed, so...
Why?
You know.
Why?
Well, you just have to call me out for skipping things, so thank you. Thank you for that. I should have made you sing. I already sang.
You should have.
If I'm just talking it to myself, yeah, I'm going to be skipping things. But I'm like, I already sang at the start. I don't want to get us a copyright strike.
What if you were talk singing? I don't know. You might have been talk singing.
Like William Shatner or Rex Harrison. Yeah, no thanks.
Does William Shatner talk sing? William Shatner does talk sing, doesn't he?
Yes.
William Shatner's a big talk singer. We don't want any of that.
Also in another Robert Wise film.
Is he?
Star Trek the Motion Picture.
Star Trek the Motion Picture is Robert Wise, isn't it? Yes. That's true. Insane.
Yes.
Why Robert Wise? Right? What's he doing?
And it's kind of the most boring one, so.
I've not seen Star Trek the Motion Picture. I just saw The Wrath of Khan as far as movies go.
Morgan hasn't seen Star Trek coming up.
Yeah. Well.
Yes. Oh, yes. Just verbalizing it quickly in my head on the spot, I did skip some favorite things.
It's understandable. No shame. No shame.
Where's your bell? Ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Just wait until my dreadful rendition of Edelweiss that I promised, but I won't promise to actually perform.
You're
going to
talk sing Edelweiss later.
Edelweiss, every morning you greet me. That's talk singing, Edelweiss. It's Do Re Mi next, as far as songs go. What I find fascinating is that, like, all the good songs are before the intermission.
Right, and then at the end you just get reprisals, pretty much.
And then after the intermission you get Cheer Up Charlie and...
and reprisals.
We all know what Cheer Up Charlie is now, don't we? If we know the Sound of Music, you all know what it is. You all know what it is, and you might like it, but ultimately, I don't really like it. Janine, do you like it?
I do not like it, although... Barbara Streisand actually put out like this album of duets with like celebrities where she's singing like Broadway like musicals with celebrities, and she actually does a version of this song with Jamie Foxx, and like that version
Jamie
is
Foxx.
Like 10 times better than what is in the movie.
Than Mother Superior or whoever it is who sings it.
Yes.
What about Do Re Mi though? Do you prefer Do Re Mi as the start of Do Re Mi and, you know, the kind of Do-a-deer and all that business? Or do you prefer the Do Re Mi of, what is it? When you know the notes to sing, you can sing anything.
Yes, I think I like when, you know, she breaks it down like each child is like a note and like she kind of like uses them as a piano almost,
yeah,
kind of thing.
Fun.
Like that. I thought that was really fun. And then it leads into the when you know the notes to sing. I like that. I think that's my favorite part of it.
In that scene, I just like to imagine how annoyed the horse and cart driver must be.
Yeah.
To hear all these people absolutely belting out these musical notes.
I bet you he's like, don't rain me my ass, or he's just grumbling to himself.
Or there is a phenomenal piece of grumbling towards the end of this movie. Oh, it's outstanding. It made me absolutely beside myself laughing. It was the most hilarious thing I've heard in ages.
We will get there though.
We will. I mean, story wise, isn't this kind of around the time you get Captain Von Trapp has gone to Vienna to the Baroness.
To the Baroness. And like I think it's just a smart way of going about teaching children how to sing. Like, if you just tell them Do Re Mi, they're like, what is that? But if you actually equate those words to something real that sounds similar, I think that it was a really fun way of a kind of equating those notes to specific things. So that lyrically I thought was so genius.
Yeah, you know what's a cop out though?
What?
La, a note to follow, so.
So because I couldn't think of anything.
I'm not having it, Hammerstein. I'm not having it. That's, you've copped out there. I don't like that. You couldn't think, and you thought, God, I need to write these lyrics. I'm running out of time. What can I put there? What does it mean? Oh, I'll just put that. That'll be fine. I don't know. Weirdness. I like when you know the notes to sing, you can sing most anything version of it, though.
Sing most anything. Yes, I like that too.
I tend to prefer that one to your run of the mill doe a deer a female deer situation.
Situation.
It is a situation though, isn't it? They're obviously all in the hills as well. This is on the nice day out that they have
in when they're all drapes, play clothes.
Yes. That are all the same. This is the problem with children dressing. I've never agreed with parents or guardians or whoever dressing groups of siblings up in the same clothing.
I mean, if you're out and about, I mean, no. It's easier to keep track of them.
Which is the excuse, but it looks ridiculous.
So, Morgan's children will never be matching.
No. Okay. Should that ever happen? Again, I just remember wearing the same clothes as my brother.
Oh, gosh. And
ultimately, no. It's not happening. I don't like it. I don't like have individuality. Individuality is important. Especially in this movie, when you're fighting the Nazis. You know? You want to be more individualistic, sure. Well, you don't want to all be...
That's why Georg's in trouble, because he's trying to be an individual.
He is, I suppose. But he's not letting his children be. He's letting his children strictly disciplined. Although, then, you know, he comes back and he's kind of all happy a little bit. And you get Max, who is just kind of there.
Uncle Max trying to make money off of people.
I mean, he's kind of terrible. And in a way he helps, but he's also very, very thinking about money all the time.
Yes.
And ultimately, purely for the fact that there hasn't been one in so long, I'm going to have to put Richard Hayden in the Mustache Hall of Fame.
Oh, okay. Even though he's a terrible...
Well, it doesn't matter, does it? It's just quality of mustache. And let's be fair, the man looked after his mustache.
Okay, fair enough. I will agree with that.
So, applause for Richard Hayden, Mustache Hall of Fame. Yay, Mustache Hall of Fame. Mustache Hall of Fame for Uncle Max Detweiler. Yes. If you want to call him Detweiler. Yes. Herr Detweiler.
Herr Detweiler.
Some other such German... sounding word.
And interesting how he would handle anytime, like, he'd be approached with the Heil Hitler, he would just kind of be like, eh. And then he would always, like, put his hand on his mouth, like, ugh, why do I have to do this?
I love it. It's the most... I look towards the end, when he's putting on the festival, and the one dude who it was at the party before.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to be whoever for the Nazis. And Captain Von Trapp's like, well, go away, the Nazis. We don't like them. And then he comes back in the end and he gives it full on aggressive Heil Hitler. And Uncle Max is just there going, huh. Oh, yes, well, yes. Yeah.
And then he, like, he wipes his mouth, almost like he's trying to wipe away that he said it.
Yeah. He just really unenthusiastically does the salute as well, which I appreciate. An unenthusiastic Nazi salute.
Yes.
I don't appreciate an enthusiastic Nazi salute for obvious reasons, but an unenthusiastic one to keep up appearances.
It's fair, I guess.
No, it's not. No Nazi salute is ever fair. Okay, we can yes, all agree with that, I think.
Yes.
And we can all agree with that. Oh, dear. What is the next song in the Sound of Music? After Do, Re, Mi, it is
Sound of Music again.
Well, yes,
the children singing it, and then, you know, Christopher Plummer comes in and he sings it, and the kids just are like, what? He's singing?
It's true. Then you get the puppet show.
Yes.
With the yodeling song. Can't yodel. Do you think I could yodel? Not a chance.
You can try. Come on. Come
not
on.
Doing it now. I'll do it when I'm in the Alps. You lay. The only time one can get away with yodeling is in the Alps, in either Germany, Austria, or Switzerland. Not France. You can't do it in France. Or Italy. Or Luxembourg. or the Czech Republic. But in Austria, Germany, or Switzerland.
Okay.
And you have to be wearing lederhosen.
Really?
Lederhosen when yodeling.
Well, it's a good thing I have my lederhosen on.
Do you? Do you I have do. Your lederhosen on?
I do.
Can we all just take note of the fact that lederhosen are ridiculous? Please. Because they do show up sometimes in this movie.
They do.
And I always find lederhosen funny. It's like that weird scene in... Is it in Suspiria? When there's that weird bar and there's those German guys doing some sort of folk dance on the tables.
Oh, yeah.
In lederhosen. It's unusual. I don't care for lederhosen.
I'm sorry, you have an aversion to lederhosen. I do. So that whole puppet show must have been difficult for you.
Though. I know, I like the puppet show.
So do you like the puppet show song?
I like the puppet show song, the Lonely Goat Herd.
Yes.
I like it, it's fun. I like that they're able to put on a nice show for their new happy dad.
The Baroness.
And the Baroness. Who is apparently making him happy, but we all secretly know who's making him happy. And it ain't Baroness, whatever her name is. Baroness Gretchen or some other such German-sounding name. What's her name? I don't know what her name is. It's Maria. Maria's making him happy.
Yes.
We all know that. Georg knows that.
So, yes, after the puppet show, Georg then is asked to sing Edelweiss.
He is, and it's a lovely little song, isn't it?
Yes.
I like Edelweiss.
Accompanied by Liesl, and yeah.
It's just sweet. It's just a really nice little song. Sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, like, apparently people think it's like the national song of Austria.
I mean, this movie probably made it that.
Well, I know, that's what I mean. I think Austrians probably hate this movie, don't they, really? Do you think Austrians hate The Sound of Music?
I hope not. I mean, I don't think it was like a negative portrayal of Austria.
No, I don't think it was a negative portrayal of Austria at all.
I wonder if it was like, you know, Georgia hearing the Ray Charles song and then saying this is the national song of Georgia. Like, after seeing this movie, they just made that the song.
Oh, no, I don't think it is. But I think Edelweiss is actually kind of a protected plant in Austria. I don't think there's too much of it left.
Oh, wow. Then it's a shame that Gretel picks some to give to the Baroness.
I know, that's what I mean. I don't think it's actually legal to go around and pick Edelweiss. I mean, you have to go pretty high for it because I think it's like a mountain plant.
Goodness.
So I think that's the point of the song, really, isn't it? Because it's kind of like, ooh, Edelweiss, if you give your love an Edelweiss flower, that means you've that means you've gone a long way, you've gone out of your way to get it because you've climbed a mountain for your, you know, you've climbed every mountain. Stop, we're not there yet. I was just about to sing Ain't No Mountain High Enough, and then you went into that. Ain't no mountain high enough for me to pick my Edelweiss to give to you.
Oh, wow.
Maria. He doesn't give Maria any Edelweiss.
No.
Who gets the Edelweiss?
The Baroness. Oh, the Gretchen Baroness gets the Edelweiss, right. Is that her name, Gretchen, the little one?
Gretchen's a little one. That's who I was thinking of. Oh, Gretchen.
Gretel. Yes.
Gretel. Where's
Why
Hansel?
Why am I always last? Because you're the most important. Oh, okay.
Yes, where's Gretel Hansel, though?
Edelweiss, or the, you know.
Secretly, Hansel? I think there should have been a Sound of Music sequel. And it's just Gretel.
Lost brother.
It's just Gretel and her long-lost brother, Hansel.
She murdered him in the hills for the Edelweiss.
Gretel actually becomes... The Gretel from The Sound of Music actually becomes the old witch in the gingerbread house from Hansel and Gretel.
Look at us, we're just rewriting this whole...
After she murders everybody over Edelweiss.
Yes, and being last all the time.
Oh, dear. Anyway, Edelweiss is a lovely song, and it should be sung at every given opportunity.
So we got to Edelweiss, so you said you were going to sing Edelweiss. So.
Edelweiss, every morning you greet me. There you go, that's all you're getting.
That was beautiful, very beautiful.
What's the other one? Small and white. Soft and bright, or
clean
something
and,
like
I think
that.
It's clean and bright.
Well, something like whatever it is. You look happy to meet me, or whatever it says. Thank you, Christopher Plummer. You sing it better than me. Well done, Michael Fassbender. It's a lovely song. I like Edelweiss.
Yes.
I'll have to learn to sing it properly if I'm to ever record a cover album of songs from The Sound of Music.
Yes, definitely.
Yes.
While you're wearing Lederhosen.
While I'm wearing... No,
you're going to wear Lederhosen on the album cover? Yes. Holding a bunch of Edelweiss. In the hills.
In the hills with my arms wide, holding Edelweiss in each arm.
I can picture the cover. You laying... In the hills, shirtless with some Lederhosen on, surrounded by Edelweiss.
Oh my god. With some of my favourite things dotted around the field.
Yes, definitely. I think that's got to go on your OnlyFans page.
Brilliant. Outstanding. I love it. No, I particularly love the reprisal of Edelweiss, though. Actually, at the festival at the end, because it's a defiant round of Edelweiss in the face of the Nazis.
Yeah, it gives you kind of Casablanca vibes a little.
Does
bit, right?
It does. I like it when they all start singing the French national anthem, isn't it? In Casablanca. To defy the Nazis. It very
and
much is
that. The fact
that
it's kind of like through music, you know, through an art, through something beautiful that you can kind of shade the evil ones in that way, you know, but subtly it's shade them.
Pride.
And they can't do anything about it, you know.
It's pride for your homeland as well, though, isn't it? That's kind of what that song is about. Yeah. It's pride for Austria.
Yeah.
Which is obviously something very important to Georg.
Yes. Aside from Maria, I think the other reprisals definitely are used very usefully. So, like, Edelweiss comes back as, you know, this kind of stance and, like, spit in the face of the Nazis. And then even the, you know, the going to bed song is, like, reused, repurposed in a smart way to help them escape.
It is, yeah. I think that's actually, I suppose, the next song, isn't it, would be So Long Farewell.
Yeah.
Because they have all the big party.
Yes, where he kind of realizes he's in love with Maria.
Yeah, because they have that nice dance.
Yes.
Traditional dance.
I love that part when they're just kind of dancing and looking into each other. And then you get that little foggy overlay that means love. And then, like, as soon as they part, then fog goes away. it might be funny. Misty glow.
It might be funny, but you would prefer it was there than it wasn't there.
Yes, yes. The misty glow always appears on the celluloid right at those moments, and then
you love
perfect.
It. I love
it's perfect. It. Perfect. I love it too.
It does, and I like that scene. I like that whole party scene. I am indifferent towards the song So Long Farewell anyway, though. I just think it's a bit sappy, sap, 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 sappy, sappy, sap,
yeah,
sap.
Yeah, when it came up, you were very kind of averse to it, like, this song. But I always thought it was a very cute song. You know, I would think, you know, in those times anyway, it was like the thing that, you know, parents would make their kids perform for their guests type thing.
I think that
was a thing.
I think it's awful to force one's children to do that.
Yes. So yeah, I think that was part of kind of a thing that was done, you know, having your kids show off for your guests as cheap entertainment.
Sure.
So, and as a thing that, you know, Maria taught them to do for the guests. So in that aspect, it's not as annoying, you know.
No, I mean, it helps they can sing.
Yes, and the reprisal of it later means more that, like, they end up kind of using it, and the choreography of that song is a huge help in how they escape. You know?
Yeah, it does. And I give it a pass because of its story implications, which is, again, why I do not consider it the Cheer Up Charlie of this movie.
Yes.
Because not only does, you know, everybody in the world recognize it as a song, you know, as a musical song. But it does have, it is important to the actual story of The Sound of Music anyway.
Yes.
Yeah, but then you have this kind of big story. Oh no, Maria's left without saying goodbye.
Yes,
why has Maria left?
She
can't
dance.
Face it.
She has the dance, she has these moments with, you know, Georg, and she realizes she loves him. And
I don't know why he's born.
The Baroness, you know, notices this as well and kind of sees this as a, you know, she knows she can scare Maria with that. So she goes and she tries to kind of give her counsel, but in a shady ass way.
Yeah.
So then ultimately scares Maria of her feelings and kind of tries to make her feel guilty about those feelings. So she kind of goes back to the nunnery and runs off.
She does.
Saying goodbye and just leaves a note behind. Everyone's
and she's all sad at the nunnery.
Yes.
And the kids try and go and see her, but the nuns are really unhelpful.
Yeah. Oh, come in. Oh, well, she can't see you. Why do you even let us come in?
Well, she can't see you. Go away. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. The kids are upset that she's gone. The kids are kind of like, they just want Maria back. Georg wants Maria back.
And
secretly.
They're trying to make it work with the Baroness and play ball with her, and she's just
doesn't
like,
work. The most awkward thing ever is when he says, "You're to have a new mother." What? We don't want her. And then they give her
these sad, pathetic kisses and hugs. That's enough. That's enough.
Another one kid's just going for too much a little bit there.
Yeah, and he's like, okay,
he's getting too
enough,
into
go.
It. It's unnecessary. He's a little bit questionable there.
No wonder Maria forgot his name. God bless what's his name.
God bless what's his name, yeah, obviously. That's funny. It's very awkward and very sad at that point for
yes.
All the Von Trapps. They start singing My Favourite Things again, don't they, to try and cheer themselves up?
Yes.
And who should come round the road? Maria! Singing with them. And everybody goes like this and celebrates. Yay! Maria's back.
She has an awkward moment with Georg. And then, you know, the Baroness just kind of, you know, skulks away in defeat back to Vienna.
Yeah, she does. She's kind of like, okay, I'm not going to stop this.
Yeah.
Like, okay, Baroness, you've done your part. We're sorry, but, you know, Maria's here now. And everybody
And then, you know, everybody's nice. I mean, you know, obviously before that, though, before all that, we get Cheer Up Charlie.
Yes,
which is Climb Every Mountain.
Yeah.
Which is a ludicrously, nastily sung song by Mother Superior or whatever her name
is. What do you mean nastily sung?
It's just sung in such a weird way.
Like a weird, like...
I don't know why it shouted so much.
Yes, it's very intense.
Climb the mountain! Ooh, chill out, Mother Superior.
It's very intense and high. And yes.
So you're not in chapel now.
You're in your little office and this is a little too much.
You're not singing a hymn.
Yes. So you're I think it is meant to be kind of a hymn the way she's singing it.
No, he's saying that's exactly what it's supposed to be, but like it isn't a hymn, so it shouldn't be sung like
that. Stop it, lady. Yes, so as we progress through the film, I realized that Maria was not the Cheer Up Charlie, but Climb Every Mountain is a Cheer Up Charlie. As, you know, I don't think she needs that. She just, you know, Mother Superior Lady could just be like, follow your heart, and then she goes and follows her heart, and that's all you need. You don't need a whole song about climbing every mountain, you know, storming every sea and whatever. And the way she's just very aggressive about it is...
That's why. It's not even the kind of intention of the song. It's the fact she's so intense about it. And she's shouting at Maria, yes. Go and do it!
You'll find your dream! Like, it's too extra.
It is way too extra.
This is my time. This is my spotlight. And she like pushes Maria out of the way and like gets in the spotlight and just, you know, this is her time to shine.
Like... That's exactly what it is. That actor was having absolutely nothing stopping her from getting her 5 minutes in this movie to absolutely go all out for it.
Yes, but like I said, there is a Barbara Streisand, Jamie Foxx version floating out there that is a lot more palatable. So,
okay, I'll look for that. I'm because I don't know when I will next watch The Sound of Music, but I may use it as a go and make a cup of tea break. You know.
Yeah, so Climb Every Mountain.
But I'll be able to hear it from three rooms away because it's that loud.
It is a bit aggressive. So
it's
yes,
not like Cheer Up Charlie that's too quiet in some parts.
Cheer Up Charlie, with a smile.
She's just way too loud.
Yes. So and like we said, it serves no story purpose,
it's so
really.
Operatic.
Like she could tell her, just follow your dreams. If you love this man, follow your heart, and that would be enough.
She does tell him. She
and she tells
tell
him
that as well.
And then she breaks out into that song, which is unnecessary. I think she just leaves because she wants to get away from the loud singing.
Maria, oh God, no, I'm going to go.
I can't stay here.
These are a few of my favorite things.
When the nun sings. When I'm feeling bad.
Oh, that's what it should be. That's what we should change it to. When the dog bites, when the nun sings. When I'm feeling sad.
Yes.
I simply remember to climb every mountain and then I don't feel so bad.
Wow.
Brilliant.
I'm sorry, Mother Superior is terrible. But,
I don't even know if she's called Mother Superior. That's just what I called her because I thought that's what the head nun was called in places.
Yes.
I don't even know. Oh, dear.
So, yes, we have established that Climb Every Mountain is the Cheer Up Charlie of The Sound of Music.
It is. It is. It's just so aggressive as a song. I just keep hearing climb every mountain. Chill out. Just calm yourself down, please.
Yes, she's very intense. So yes, that is enough to get her to run back to the children and confess her love to Georg. And
it is. And it's all nice.
Yes, so they get married, and then, of course, they do this terrible reprisal of what's wrong with Maria at her own wedding. Just terrible.
This is where the Sound of Music becomes a little bit silly.
Yes.
Right now. And then it becomes a little bit more sillier. Yes. Yeah, at her own wedding, which is obviously what every bride wants to hear, is to be called a clown at your own wedding.
Yes.
And then it gets a little bit more silly with the fact that a happy movie would end there, and it is a happy movie, but then you have, oh, well, we have to have the festival. Oh, yeah, that's right, the festival. Max is in this movie. Where's Max been for the last half an hour? I don't know. Sorting out his festival, I think.
Yes, trying to make money off the Von Trapp children.
Yeah.
So while Maria and Georg are on their honeymoon, he gets them set up to be in this festival so he can make money off his new singing group.
Yes, but you know what happens, don't you?
Yes.
Is the Nazis come in and they go, we hold Salzburg now. And nobody likes that, but everybody has to deal with it because, you know, violence and things. And, you know, the war.
Yes.
And there's swastikas everywhere. And then what I do like is obviously, you know, when Georg and Maria come back from their honeymoon, quickly when they receive news of what's happening, is that he goes to the house and I don't know who's put a swastika up.
Like a flag up. He takes it down and rips it.
He does. He tears it down, he rips it up, and he throws it away.
Yes.
Which
That we see the sweet young romance between Rolf and Liesel has turned into Rolf kind of going to the Nazi side and has a telegram for Georg, and you know he's very cold with Liesel and says he doesn't have time for such things anymore.
And I have more important duties to attend to.
So yes.
Okay. I don't know why he turned into I have more duties to attend to now. Don't know why Rolf now talks like this.
But okay. So yes, then that kind of leads to a nice motherly moment, and you know,
it does.
I like calling you mother and talking to her about, you know, heartbreak and things like that.
Yes.
And then even I think Max tells Maria, can you convince him that he needs to, like, you know, just play ball with these people and, you know, just so they leave him alone. And she's like, I can't, you know, make him change who he is. I would never ask him to, you know. So I love her response. She's still so she knows what this could cost the family if he doesn't, like, play ball with these people and do what they want him to do. But she is still very honest, and she loves him enough that she can just, so I love that response. It's like kind of a simple thing that you might not put a lot of thought into, but I like that Max is like asking her to convince him, and she's like, I can't ask him to, like, change his heart or his feelings or, you know.
And also, we should not be just playing ball for the Nats.
Exactly, because Max is like, I think you just need to get along with everybody so you can just do what you need to do and blah, blah. No.
There are times when we're a little bit past that, I'm afraid, Max.
Yes.
And the Second World War happens to be one of them. Yes. And we're just a little bit past getting along with everybody when there happens to be the Nazis involved.
Yes. So I appreciate that they are still very, you know, strong in what is right.
Yeah.
I
still think the best use of the Nazis and the Second World War in a movie musical is, of course, Bedknobs and Broomsticks. And let's not forget the end where the Nazis are defeated by walking suits of armor.
Oh my gosh, the best part of that movie is so good. Yes.
Magic. And not only is it the best movie making the Nazis look like complete morons,
but it's also a great movie. And another great movie musical.
Yes.
I think it is anyway. But yeah, I like the festival. I really like the festival scene and obviously the kind of low-key intensity of it because there's all the guards around everywhere and things are you can tell things are really starting to change and it's all quite emotional.
Yes.
And Captain Von Trapp gets up there. Well, they all get up there.
Well, they try to escape.
Oh, they try to escape. Yes, they do. Yes.
Because that the telegram that he did get was like asking him to report the very next day to like be a general.
I forget what it was called.
Army or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember what like the title is, but they want him to report for duty with the Nazis, and he's like, hell no. So they try to escape that night, but then they get caught, and so they have to make a whole excuse of, oh, well, we're just on our way to the festival and had car trouble and,
yeah, you know,
all of that. So
they go to the festival, they have a nice sing-song together, and it's all very emotional because you can tell Christopher Plummer's giving his nice little slightly teary-eyed version of Edelweiss. And
yes.
And that's showing nice.
That last bit of Austrian pride and yes. The people who do, you know, the people don't want this. They, you know.
Well, nobody at the festival, yeah, apart from those three Nazis in the front row and all, yes, the guards want this.
Yes. So I like that, you know, he kind of shows that sense of pride and it's a great use of a reprisal.
It is.
And then, yeah, the, you know, So Long Farewell is definitely a very smart use as well. They kind of each sneak away so they can, like, start making their escape out of Austria. So
I still feel like it's slightly unusual why, in So Long Farewell, when it comes to the adieu line, why do they go super German with it?
Adieu. So you're.
Like, it becomes a little bit of a stereotype at that point, yes, and I don't understand why.
They get very accent-y on that, for sure.
The rest of the song isn't like that. The movie is set in German-speaking an area, but it's in perfect, you know, it's not in German.
No.
You know, it's in English. So why all of a sudden? Nobody in this movie is German. Or speaks German. I mean, they may speak German. Why in that one line of So Long Farewell did they just decide to turn up the accent? I don't get it.
That's very true, yes.
Does it just to make it rhyme with adieu?
I guess. To you and your and your.
But it sounds like, that's what it sounds like. It's, yes, weird. I think that's why I don't like that song.
Because they get really accent-y.
I do like the calling out who wins the festival, though.
Oh, yeah, and that lady because, who just keeps bowing and bowing, yeah, and bowing.
In third place, the woman who can't get off the stage.
So I'm like, is she in on this? Is she really trying to, like, help, I know, them?
She might be. You don't know. She might be.
Yeah.
And you got one last. Well, you get the. They've gone. Oh no.
Yes. And it,
I mean, you don't get that. You don't get a comical soundtrack to it.
No. But it's actually a pretty suspenseful scene after them trying to get away and then kind of hiding.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. And then Rolf comes again. And Rolf decides to act like even more of a moron.
Yes.
Nobody likes Rolf. Gun.
Yeah.
Rolf. Boo, Rolf. I never liked Rolf from the word go. From 16 going on 17, I never liked Rolf. He was too pathetic.
Yeah.
You could tell he was weak.
Yeah.
He's not got a strong will about him as Rolf, which is why... He bent the knee to the Nazis as soon as they showed up.
And you thought, Rolf, maybe he wouldn't say anything. Like, maybe.
I didn't. I knew Georg he would because he's a coward. Georg was convincing him.
And yeah, he just chickened out and they're here.
And yes. No, but no. They walk over the hills.
Yes.
and the movie opens and closes in the hills.
In the hills, because they're alive. With what?
The sound of music.
Correct.
Yay. 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 I mean, the real Von Trapp family just took the train. It's a little less interesting.
They close the borders the next day.
Yeah. They took the train to Italy, and then the borders were closed the next day. Oh. So they just got out anyway. You know where Captain Von Trapp died? In Vermont.
Really?
Yeah. Don't know why he was in Vermont. I don't know if he escaped to Vermont. I don't know.
Oh.
Interesting. That's where I found out he died.
Oh, very interesting.
Which is slightly unusual anyway. Yay, the sound of music, Janine.
Yes.
I do think, to end the show today, we have a couple of voice messages, though.
We do.
About the sound of music. And just an outstanding movie. I mean, I loved watching this again in so long. I really, really did.
Yeah, it had been a while. So it was nice to it's always nice to kind of revisit this movie. Just how sweeping it is, how grand it is. The songs are great. Julie Andrews is always impeccable. You know, a young Christopher Plummer giving me Michael Fassbender vibes is never a bad thing.
I mean, the man is very, very handsome.
Yes.
He just is. Anyway, voice messages.
Yes. So I think a feud has begun, or has been brewing for a while. So yeah. Fans of the It's a Wonderful Podcast feed, patrons of the It's a Wonderful Podcast patron, are you team Carla or are you team Billy? Because those are our two voice messages today.
Yeah. you'll have to let us know.
So
is it much bigger? It's much bigger than Jacob and Edward.
Yes, it seems to be getting there. So we do have a voice message from Carla, who picked this movie. So what does Carla have to say?
Hello, Morgan and Janine. It is Carla. Hopefully I'm on time for this one. I wasn't planning on sending a message for The Sound of Music. Okay. So I hope you guys enjoyed the movie. I know you guys enjoyed it. I just watched a live stream. But I love this musical. I was running out of things to choose that you guys haven't done. But it's a good movie to watch and to rewatch and watch all over again. Besides The Sound of Music, the song, my other favorite one would be Doremi. And yes, I used my Latin accent for that one because it sounds better. The doe, a deer, a female deer. Like, it's always catchy and it's always cheery and always makes people happy. Anyways, keep doing what you're doing, you guys. And Janine, hopefully you're singing. We're going to sing in this episode, okay? So, bye.
Well, you will be rewarded, Carla. I do sing in this episode. And yes, I heard her. Doremi.
I mean, if you want to make, you know, Spanish The Sound of Music, go ahead.
Yes.
Set it in South America.
Instead of Georg, it's Jorge.
And it's still Maria.
Right? It's perfect. Doremi.
Instead of Georg. That is...
I love it, Carla. I love it.
Outstanding.
So, yes, thank you, Carla, for picking this movie. We definitely had a great conversation. We got to sing.
We did. So, even I sung a little bit.
Yes, wonderful. And Billy, I know he mentioned that he really loves this musical as well, so let's hear what he had to say.
Yes.
Hey, Morgan and Janine. So I saw that you guys were doing my favorite musical of all time, The Sound of Music. You could say it's one of my favorite things, but it's... no, but I absolutely love this movie, Julie Andrews. I cannot say anything more but iconic. Same thing with Christopher Plummer. And when I think of Julie Andrews and her beautiful singing voice, all I think of is Maria Von Trapp. And surprisingly, my favorite song is actually Edelweiss, and I think it's an amazing musical, and an even better story, just because most of that is true. So you can catch the main show, which you are listening to right now. You can catch Machine Mondays, and you can watch Morgan Hasn't Seen. All right, Hype Man out.
I think I'm agreeing with Billy, to be perfectly honest with you. Edelweiss might be my favourite song.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of what else would be, and I can't think of any that I actually ultimately prefer. I don't know why. Is that weird?
No, I think Edelweiss is a great song. And like, even me, I like love the little duet with Liesl in there as well.
Yeah.
And I think he sings it great, so.
Yay for voice messages, Janine. Yay for voice messages.
Thank you guys so much. We love when we get those from you guys, so.
We do. Before we get out of here, of course, and wrap up, I should mention the movie won 5 Oscars, obviously Best Picture, Best Director, all that good stuff. What else did it win? Music stuff. But it won, yes. Best Picture and Best Director, and that's what's important, really, isn't it?
Yes, of course.
So there's its legacy just there, but I still think it is the great American movie musical.
And go watch the old episode of the Oprah Show where she had like all of them reunited. It's a really fun watch.
And you get to hear Christopher Plummer
talking about how much he hated doing this movie. But I mean, he has since changed his tune. But yes,
how old is Christopher Plummer now?
Oh,
Christopher Plummer's like, I mean, I don't know. I don't know why we're doing this now.
But Christopher Plummer,
probably, yeah. Christopher Plummer is 90.
Dang.
He'll be 91 this year.
Wow.
Fair play, Christopher Plummer. Fair play. Well done. Janine.
Morgan.
Are we calling it?
We are calling it.
Well, there we go. All the good stuff. The Patreon. It's a Wonderful Podcast. Just search that on patreon.com. Find the tier that is right for you. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on the Patreon. A certain tier allows you to pick movies that we do or topics that we cover on these shows. Everybody who is a Patreon gets the shout-outs. And there's plenty more in between, including our favourites, which is the Sunday live stream, because they're always phenomenal. I still want to do an actual full show, breaking down each Cheer Up Charlie from each musical we've covered.
Yes.
And like make it a public show.
Yeah, I like that idea.
That's the Patreon, of course. This is the main show. It's a Wonderful Podcast, but it's not the only show you can find on this feed. As Billy alluded to in his voice message, we have Machine Mondays every Monday with Janine the Machine sat right over there with all her schmodown things. We also have Morgan Hasn't Seen every Wednesday, where we are still firmly on our Twilight series.
Yes.
And it's getting more intense and more like, oh dear, there's a war coming somewhere. But there's also a hell of a lot of romancy, and vampires and werewolves, and that's Twilight. We also, yes, of course, have this show where we love and celebrate those wonderful older movies that we all love so much. Sometimes we showcase some slightly more low-key movies that you might not have heard of or thought about in ages and ages and ages and just might want a little bit of a push. Sometimes we do like the most obvious movie ever, like this week.
Yes.
And we just have a blast talking about it because it's great.
It's great
either way. You can find the It's a Wonderful Podcast feed on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Castbox, and a whole bunch of others.
because we are absolutely everywhere. All just on Twitter at It's a Wonderful One. You can find me on Twitter at The Purple Don with the 3 instead of the E in the because, Janine.
3 is the magic number.
And all your good stuff is at where?
Oh, you can find me at Janine DeBean on Twitter and Instagram. And if you want to check out my artwork or get any merch for our shows, you can find that all at my TeePublic shop at teepublic.com at G9Design.
Well, there we go. I think there's only one thing left to do. Janine, do you want to sing it to the tune of Do Re Mi?
I mean, there is a whole song about saying goodbye, right?
Oh, that's true. We could do so that.
So long. Farewell. I mean,
how would we do it? We haven't thought this through.
Goodbye.
I can't sing that well. I'm just going to say Auf Wiedersehen because Germany. But it's not Germany, it's Austria.
Okay, fair enough.
Go for it.
Goodbye.